4, if you'll turn there tonight. As most of you know, I went through something this last few weeks, and I've been operated on, and I've even sat here and preached with my leg up in a chair, and sat in a chair and preached with my leg stuck out in a cast before, but I don't think I've ever missed 3 Sundays in a row. And missing 3 Sundays in a row, you really miss it when you're used to being here.
Amen.
And you kind of relate to what David's talking about here. David is on exile. He's thinking about the tabernacle in Jerusalem. He's longing to be there. And he wants to be there. And he talks about how blessed are those people that dwell there. How blessed are those people that comes. And also he talks about those, how blessed are those that trust in God. He uses this word, we'll find, I believe it's in verse 6, Baca. Baca's talking about a shrub, that's a rough shrub that indicated trials and troubles and hardships. In other words, some of us went through some hardships of our life to find the house of God. And sometimes we even go through hardships after we found the house of God. But the good thing about it is, he said that though we have had Baca coming into the house of God, we find springs in the house of God to help us during the hardships that we have. Let's begin reading, if you would, in verse number 1. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. And there he's talking about how lovely the dwelling is of the tabernacle. Now remember, this was before Solomon built the temple. This was a tabernacle. In verse 2, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found a house and swallowed a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King, my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Salah. Blessed is a man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Salah. Behold, O God, our shield, look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is a man that trusteth in thee.
Amen.
Tonight, I want to look from verse 10. I want to bring a few thoughts from verse 10. David said, for a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Now, let me say this. David had a great heart for the house of God. You read the Psalms and over and over and over. He said his desire in chapter 27 of Psalms, his desire is to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If you remember again one time where he's talking in Psalms 23, he said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He loved the house of God, something special. Now, the Bible, when it speaks of the house of God, it speaks of several things. First of all, we know that the third heaven is a house of God. The Bible speaks that there is a third heaven. There is a heaven right above us that we look. We see the stars and the birds and all those things. That is the first heaven. Then we see the universe above that, and that is a second heaven. The third heaven is a dwelling place of God. His throne is there. The Bible describes some things in the third heaven. But we also know that the Bible says that Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. Mansions means dwelling places. In other words, in the third heaven, there's many dwelling places that God has up there in his house. But Jesus is gone to prepare a place for those of us who are of the bride, those of us who are saints. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. In other words, there's a new Jerusalem that he's gone to prepare, a city of lights, streets of gold, gates of pearl. All those things are what Jesus is preparing as we speak. We don't know when and how and when he completes that, but he told his disciples he's gone to prepare that place, and he will come again, receive them unto himself, that where he is, there they may be also. But we also have the Bible speaking of even a rock in a place called Bethel. Jacob laid his head upon a rock and met God there, and he called the place Bethel. The word Bethel means house of God. In other words, there's a house of God because God dwelt there at Bethel. And you remember, Jacob left God and got away from God and backslid upon God, and he come back through and he came to Bethel the second time, and there he wrestled with the angel. But it was at the house of God. Then God also gave the dimensions of Moses to draw up and build a tabernacle. The tabernacle was called the house of God. That's the house of God that David's referring to here. They would be able to move it during the wilderness. Then they took it and put it into Jerusalem. It was taken away, and it was stayed a couple other places and brought back to Jerusalem one time. You remember when David brought it back and he danced before them as they brought it back. Remember when he sent to get them, and remember the guy who stuck his hand up there and died because he touched the Ark of the Covenant. And the tabernacle was a house of God. Then, of course, Solomon built the temple. The temple that Solomon built was called the house of God. And so here God, again, made this magnificent temple. The Queen of Sheba, many others come from miles around to see the splendor of the temple that Solomon built. Of course, it was tore down. And later on, after the captivity of Israel, 70 years later, we find Ezra, and we find several of them going back, and they rebuilt a temple. Zerubbabel rebuilt it, and it was called Zerubbabel's temple. And there again, it was called the house of God. During Jesus' time, Herod had built a temple. They called it Herod's temple, and it was called the house of God. As a matter of fact, Jesus said that they had made the house of God and house of prayer a den of thieves. And he went and kicked the tables over. Amen. Then, of course, after Jesus left, he made where there would be a group of believers, called out believers, and where they would gather together, wherever that would be, in a house, in a building like this, wherever it would be the house of God. And so therefore, even the church is called the house of God. That's why when we come into here, we reverence this place, because it is a house of God, where two or three had gathered together. Now, David had a great love for the house of God. There's two ways that we show our love for the house of God. One is to be present. Amen. The Bible says that we're not forsake the assembling ourselves together, as a manner of some is, but even so much more as we see the day approach. Amen. I say this, and I don't say it apologetic. I'll say this. People who claim to be saved and never has desire to come in the house of God, there is something wrong with those people.
Amen.
There is something missing in your life when you're a child of God and you don't have a longing for the house of God.
Amen.
And I'll tell you what, a few moments why we should have that longing. The second thing, not only should we be present at the house of God, but we ought to be pleasant in the house of God. The Bible says how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell in unity. When we come into the house of God, it ought to be one where we're pleasant with each other. It's a crying shame when you see places that call themselves churches that feuds and fights and fusses among themselves all the time. It is a crying shame. That's not what the house of God is about. You ought to be on your best behavior. Somebody said, well, preacher, if you knew them like I know them. Well, to be honest with you, if we knew each other like God knew each other, we would all be embarrassed. But the truth of the matter is we are saved by the grace of God. And the Bible says that we have a love, that our love, that it allows us that we are to oversee and overlook iniquity. In other words, the Bible says that charity covereth a multitude of sins.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, they've got a shortcoming. We all do. But when we come into the house of God, we dwell pleasantly with one another. We're glad to see each other coming.
Amen.
And we hope that things will, if someone's got something in their life, going on in their life, we hope that this will be a place that they'll find that will change it. The house of God brings us hope.
Amen.
And so we draw hope from coming here. We draw help from coming here. Every one of us needs help. None of us are able to face everything that we face in this old life. We need help.
Amen.
And so it's good to come in the house of God. Let me tell you something else we need. We need fellowship with one another. Someone once defined it, and you've heard me say it before, but I liked it and I held on to it. I don't even remember who it was, but fellowship is all the fellows in the same ship. And we all are being in the same ship. If you're saved, you're going to the same place. And we're going one way, and Jesus is the captain.
Amen.
And so therefore we have fellowship. We ought to have friendship in the house of God. We ought to be able to have friends, and our friends ought to be in the house of God. We ought to love one another. We ought to have companionship and find companionship. And sometimes I see some of these boys and girls, they find each other here. And let me tell you this, there's no better place to find somebody as a companion than in the house of God. I'm glad to see. It sure beats going out there and trying to find what the world has to offer. Because somebody said, well, we're going to go and that's going to help us. But you'll find out most of the time it's just the opposite. It drags them out instead of brings them in. And so, therefore, I thank God when I see that. I think there's a proper way of doing it, but I thank God. Also, in the house of God, we find understanding. We understand life. We understand things of life. We understand the ways of the world, the things going on in the world. And thank God that we have the house of God, that we have an understanding.
Amen.
I listen to some people sometimes that has these great educations and all these letters after their name, and they are fools. They don't have a clue what's going on. They don't see anything in a spiritual sight. They don't understand anything. And how surprised they're going to be one of these days when they wake up and see God face to face. And they have to give an account for thinking that they were smarter than God. But I thank God that we come to this little house and we find understanding.
Yes, amen.
Not only that, but we also find a place to worship. We worship God. We worship and praise Him. In our song books, there's only one that deserves worship. In the Bible, there's only one that deserves worship.
Amen.
Each of you may have talents that you bring here, and I love each of you. I love to hear some of you sing. I love to hear some of you do this, love some of you that. I appreciate some of your spirits. I appreciate some of the ways and things that you do. But listen, like I said Tuesday night, being thankful, we are to be thankful to God, and everything that we got to be thankful for,
amen,
we have to be thankful to Him for.
Amen.
If you have a good wife, you be thankful to God. If you have a good husband, you be thankful to God. If you have good health, be thankful to God. Amen. If you have a good job, be thankful to God. Yeah, God is the author of all good things. Right. And so therefore, he's the one deserving. And therefore, when we come together, I don't expect you to worship me. By all means, I don't want you worshiping me. Brother Junior was talking about those that wants to be called priest and father, and you see some of them walking around, they stick their rings out, they stick their hands out, they want people kissing their feet, kissing their hand. Man, I don't want to usurp that position. There's only one that deserves that position. And I don't want to have nobody worshiping me. I don't want nobody calling me father. I don't want nobody calling me priest. We have one priest. We have one mediator. And I want to point them to that. We have one person to worship here, and it's not me. Listen, you're going to worship, whether I'm here or not, you worship the same person. Whether you're here or not, there's one person to worship. We have one, that's Jesus.
Amen.
Amen? Now, the reason why we love the house, number one, God was the architect of the house of God. It was all his idea. Every one of these places that he had, he's the one. As a matter of fact, he told Moses, he said, I want you to build it just like this. Build it this wide, this many cubits, this many cubits high. Build it this. There, it's a pattern of things that's in heaven. The Bible tells us there's a holy of holies in heaven. The Bible tells us there's a courtyard in heaven. There's a holy place in heaven. In other words, he said, I want you to build it this way because it's exactly what I got up in my place. I want you to build it, and I want you to build it where you can tear it down, put it back up, tear it down, put it back up. As you go through the wilderness, God was the architect of the house of God, the tabernacle. Then whenever Solomon got ready to build, God was the author of the temple. And all of that, then we find that when God, when Jesus came, he said that he came to build his church. And Jesus is the author of that. His wisdom, his power, the way he looked. Who would ever thought that God, a holy, just God that could not look upon sin, could not have sin in his presence, who would ever thought that he could think of a way that he could send his son to die on the cross of Calvary for our sins, that you and I, wretched sinners, could be brought together and reconciled with God, and we could be made part of the family of God because of Jesus. Who would ever have thought that everybody, regardless of who they are, could come if they wanted to come? Isn't God good? Isn't his salvation tremendous? Could anyone ever come up with the idea of how to save mankind like God did? My goodness, God is the architect of everything that we're here about.
Amen.
In the house. Not only that, he is the head of the house.
Amen.
He's the one that appoints the ordinances and officers. He is the head. Somebody said, who's the head of your church? Jesus. Jesus is the head of every church. If Jesus is not the head of the church, then it's not a church. He is the head of the church.
Amen.
And thank God that when we come into the house of God, we come here not because it's my house or your house. It's his house. He's the head.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, how do we solve problems? I'll never forget one time this church was wanting me to try out for their pastor. And there was eight deacons, took me in the back room. So we got some questions we want you to answer. I said, let me tell you this. Before you ask me questions, I want you to know that God's not calling me to pastor this church. As a matter of fact, the very next week, I end up here. And 3 weeks later, I was pastoring this church. And God had a purpose for me coming here. But I met with them, and this was a question. The first question they asked me, I said, do you mind to answer the questions? Anyway, I said, I don't mind to answer your questions. And their question was this: if the preacher and the deacons disagree, who's right? I said, disagree about what? Anything. I said, that's the stupidest question I ever heard in my life. I said, and I had eight of them, deacons. I said, what's a deacon? I said, I don't want your opinion. Tell me from the scripture what a deacon is. Not one of the eight could tell me. I said, tell me where it talks about deacons in the Bible. Not one out of eight could tell me where it talked about him in the Bible. I said, fellas, I don't guess you want me to answer the second question. But I said, that's the most foolish question I ever seen. And if you think somehow that it's a power play, let me tell you something, let you in on a little secret. If this place is ever going to be a church, you have one that's head, and that's Jesus.
Amen.
When you have a question, the question is settled in the Word of God. It's not settled by your opinion. It's not settled what your grandpa did, what your grandma did, what they've done here in this church for years. That does not have any bearing. The Word of God is the only bearing upon what is right, what is wrong.
Amen.
And so therefore, Jesus is the head.
That's right.
He is the Word. Whether I abide by it, whether you abide by it, His Word is forever settled in heaven.
Amen.
So His Word rules supreme in the house of God.
Amen.
Amen. Now, not only that, but also God dwells in the house. The author of the universe, the God of all gods, that dwells in the high, lofty places of heaven, where two or three are gathered in Jesus' name, He's down here in the midst. That's why I love the house of God. We come in here. And you know something else? Where one contrite heart gets humbled before God, He comes down from heaven and saves that soul.
Amen.
Isn't it wonderful?
Amen.
To know that whatever God's going on in the world, and all the things going on in the world, it takes one humble soul. The Bible says He dwells in the high, lofty places of heaven and among the humble, contrite heart. And in the house of God, all of a sudden someone can get broken and come and call upon the name of Jesus, and God comes down and saves their soul. Amazing. And amazing that we don't have to have 1,000 people in this congregation to attract God's attention. Where two or three are gathered together in Jesus' name, He'll be there in our midst. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Boy, I tell you, not only that, but He also is able to spread tables among us in the presence of our enemies. We can be having all kinds of battles, and we come in the house of God, and He can spread tables and give us something to eat and feast upon. Thank God. He receives glory from us. We're able to give Him glory when we think of His amazing grace. When we talk about how great He is, and what a wonderful salvation He's done, and how good Jesus is, and how much He loved us, and how undeserving we are, He gets all praise. So when we come together, we have that. Something about this house, the reason why we love it, it has His name attached to it.
Amen.
It's God's house.
Amen.
Not only do we have God's house, we have His Word. Isn't it good to have the Word of God? I'm glad I don't have to depend upon CNN, MSNBC, or even Fox News. Someone we was talking about earlier before, somebody said, do you believe everything they say on Fox News? I don't. But I tell you, I sure don't believe what them other channels say. But I'm glad this. We can come to God's house and we can hear God's Word.
Amen.
And when I hear His Word, I know it's truth.
That's right.
His Word is truth, and the truth will set you free. Somebody said every time, somebody said, well, I don't know what to say to somebody that's lost and needs to be saved. I simply tell them what I tell them. You believe this? If their answer is no, I say there's no hope for you. If you believe this, then let's go look and see what the Bible says. And when the Bible says it, His Word is truth. If you'll believe upon Jesus Christ, He'll save your soul.
Amen.
How do I know that? He said it in His Word. So therefore, I'll have His Word. Not only that, but I'm glad that I come on His day. It's the Lord's day.
Amen.
He's appointed a day. He said on the first day of the week, let us bring as God's prospered us, that we come together. We come together on Sunday because this is the Lord's day. You know, some of us are old enough to remember when everything shut down around on the Lord's Day. I used to love it. Nothing was open. It was peaceful. It was quiet. Now you can't tell the difference between the Lord's Day and any other day. But I'm glad that we meet together on the first of the week on the Lord's Day. And you know, I want to say something to you all, this church here. We may not be the biggest church, but I'll tell you this, for the size of our congregation on Sunday, our Sunday night and Wednesday night crowds are to be commended. Yeah. Amen. You know, there's places today, it's hard for a lot of churches to have their doors open anymore on Sunday night and Wednesday night. And it's a crying shame that we can't come together two or three times a week and we can't find time to come to the house of God.
Amen.
But this is the Lord's Day. Not only that, this is Lord's people. That's why I love it. When we have God's presence, we have His protection. I believe this. I believe God has angels around us right now. I believe we have His protection. We have God's promises. We have God's plentiful. In other words, He promises us plenty. Did you ever notice this little church? You know, there's not people here that's got a whole lot of money that I know of. You may have money I don't know about. But I don't know that any of us got a big bunch of money. But I'll tell you this. Everything we've ever needed, God has provided for us.
Amen. Amen.
Every time I ask Brother Rick, I say, Brother Rick, can we afford to do this? We need to get this clean. Can we afford to do this? Yeah, I believe we can have the money. It just seems to come in. And God has a way. Not only that, but let me say this. This is a place where we find service to God. This is a place where we surrender to God. This is a place where we find satisfaction. There's not much in this old world that satisfies me, but I can find satisfaction in here.
Yes,
amen. Now let me say this, I'll close. David contrasts this, look in verse 10. He says, for a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in tents of the wickedness. Have you ever been, and can I say this? It don't take nothing to be in the tents of wickedness. The place where you work can be the tents of wickedness. Matter of fact, to be honest with you, your house can be the tents of wickedness. To be honest with you, the places where you go for pleasure can be the tents of wickedness. Sometimes we think it's the bars and it's that and the other. But have you ever been in a place where you know you don't belong?
Amen.
And you feel and you know for a fact wickedness is all around you? David said, listen, I'd rather be standing there at that door, at the door of the courts, doing whatever I need to do, than to have the highest places in some of those tents. Amen. You see, in the tents of wickedness, Satan is ahead. He's the one that's a leader. God is cursed in those places. And there is no settled peace. There are so many places that people's looking for peace. I used to tell some, and they used to get mad at me. I used to have some, we had some that was they try to work through some of these people addicted to alcohol and drugs. And they want to work through the AA and work through all those programs. Now you might get mad at me, they got mad at me, but you might get mad at me if you want to, but I'm going to tell you something. It is not 12 steps that sobers people up. It's one step. They need to come to Calvary. And coming to Calvary can cure you of your drug addiction. Coming to Calvary can save you from your alcohol addiction. But until you make that one step and make Jesus Lord, that's the only thing that's going to save you. Now I've seen these that try to come and try to go. They asked me one time, they asked me to go to one of those places and said, would you go? I said, you ever been? I said, no. I said, well, don't put it down till you've been. So I went, I sat there. Now listen, now everybody going around through there, Every one of them introduced themselves and said they were an alcoholic. And introduced themselves by their name. Even the people who claimed to be saved. I said, folks, do you think the grace of God cannot save you from alcohol addiction? Do you think that all your life you're going to be an alcoholic if the Son of God has set you free? And I made some so mad they couldn't see straight. As a matter of fact, they sent word for me not to ever come back. But it wasn't funny. It was crying shame, and because all they do, they might sober themselves up, and you know, I sit there and listen to them, and they'd criticize church. They'd have something critical to say about church, organized church, and all this and other. But their reason and their problem was this. Now listen to me. You can tell what their problem is. Most of them can't hold a job. You know why they can't hold a job? They won't humble themselves and submit themselves to a higher authority. You know why they don't like the church? Because they don't humble themselves and submit themselves to a higher authority. If you're going to be a part of the church, God gives grace to the humble. He resists the proud. If we're going to be part of this thing, and we're going to enjoy and be able to enjoy here, we got to humble ourselves when we come in here. If you come in here thinking that you are better than somebody else that comes in here, my friend, you'll never get nowhere in life. You got to humble yourself, submit yourself to higher authority. And I told them this. They said, well, we do submit to ourselves to higher authority. I said, yes, but your higher authority can be anything in the world. I said, there's only one, and that's the God of heaven. That's the creator of the universe. Amen. And it's through the Son of God. And if we don't go through the Son of God, then we cannot get to God. We have no hope. And so therefore, what we do is, that's why I'm with David. I'd rather dwell in the house of God and be a doorkeeper than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. Amen. My friend, when God designed this for us on our way home, he knew what he was doing. When he brought, just look around you, just brought us from everywhere in the world. Some of us have had some great hardships getting here. Some of us have had some great losses. But through the church and coming into the house of God, we found springs of water that's fed our souls. And through God's infinite wisdom, he developed churches until the time when he calls us all home. And then when we get to heaven, he will bring all the saints that's part of the church together. And there will be one great big wedding. And we will be united with the Son of God, there to be his bride forever. What a wonderful, Amen. Wonderful God that we serve. Amen. Let's stand tonight, if you would. 154.